Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for December the 24th. It's Christmas Eve, and let me wish you a very Merry Christmas. I hope, I pray that you are safe and with your family, your friends, those you love, or that you're on your way to doing that, or someone's on their way to you. I hope, I'm an advocate that family's the most important thing that God gives us. It's what He establishes in the Garden of Eden with marriage and then procreation. It tells us that from the beginning, God honored family. There's explicit and implicit covenant involved in family. You made an explicit covenant with your spouse. You have an implicit covenant with your kids. You commit yourself to them. Why do I bring this up on Christmas Eve? Because most of us feel that family is what this is all about. Why is it that we want to be with family on Christmas? Well, maybe it's because we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus, and we realize that a young couple on the move has a child in a stable, in a manger, and in those moments like that, none of us really have anything like that, but in moments of chaos, potential tragedy, family's what you want. Family's what they have, and out of that is birthed, well, not just this great thing, but out of that is birthed that baby, Jesus, that grows into the man who knows who he is and lays his life down on our behalf. And so that sort of the underpinnings of the holiday is, of course, the underpinning is that Jesus, we celebrate his birth, but I think what we're really celebrating is family and that which God has given us, and that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I pray favor and blessing on your trips, whatever you're doing. You know, you hear a lot of talk this time of year about what is the season and what isn't the season, of course. And I think I say this every year to my podcast audience, but I'll just keep saying it because it's the one time of year I get to say it, or that it really seems to matter, and that is, it's probably time to dispense of judging everyone's holiday cheer, you know, or judging everyone's greetings. You don't have to throw a fit because people don't say Merry Christmas. If they say Happy Holidays, it's not an attack on your Jesus. Maybe they're not Christian. Maybe they're of another religion. It does happen to be the season of multiple religious holidays. There's also multiple secular holidays going on. If you throw in New Year's Day, that's a secular holiday. A lot of people are saying Happy Holidays to incorporate Christmas and New Year's. Also, they don't know if you're not Jewish. They don't know if you don't celebrate some other faith. So let's relax. Receive a Happy Holidays with a smile and the joy that someone cared enough to say something to you. I'm not in 1 Corinthians today. I'm breaking away from that for today and tomorrow. I want to share one verse with you today that has nothing to do with our 1 Corinthians, but does, as far as I'm concerned, have something to do with our Christmas. Now, of course, Christmas for the Christian is a celebration of the fact that God came to the earth wrapped in human flesh, and we named him Jesus, and Jesus then goes on to be the centerpiece of our redemption story. He dies on the cross as a judgment against sin and evil, and then we celebrate his death as our death. And we do that because we see him as a first Adam dying and a new or last Adam raising from the dead. Of course, the early Christian tradition didn't celebrate to the extent we do the birth of Jesus. We don't see the New Testament writers catalog it at all. But we do see them talk greatly about his death. That's why I've always been a bigger fan from a spiritual standpoint of Easter than of Christmas, because the Easter story is the passion of the Christ. It's him dying on Calvary and raising from the dead, and there's our redemption. But to celebrate his arrival, there's nothing wrong with celebrating his arrival. We're probably not correct. It's doubtful that he's born December the 25th. That doesn't work too well. geographically in Palestine at that time of the year. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. What we're really celebrating, I think, is not a baby or a manger or even a virgin birth. We're celebrating the fact that God intervened. And one of the things that we take away from that event was that God was giving us a gift. And that's one of the reasons why we look at gifts as an important part of Christmas. Of course, the wise men arrive with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't know how many wise men there were. The text never says, but they bring three kinds of gifts. That's why we started thinking there were three wise men. But either way, gifts seem to be appropriate. God gives us the gift of his son, and we gave gifts to that son and his family to support them. That leads to a verse that does not appear in the Gospels, but seems like it should. It's Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul is talking to his Ephesian elders. He's really throwing a pastor's conference in Miletus, and he brings in the Ephesian elders. This is a church that, whether he started it or not, he feels very passionate about them. He began to lead them into Christ in Acts 19. By Acts 20, there's a church established there. So there's probably a pretty good span of time that's happened between 19 and 20. And eventually he'll write the book of Ephesians. Eventually they will be addressed by the author of Revelation, John, and they're one of the seven churches in Asia that's addressed. But Paul quotes, he gives a quote in Acts 20, verse 35, and he attributes it to Christ. But the quote is nowhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. This is evidence that there were stories floating around in the life of the Apostle Paul, in the time of the Apostle Paul, about Jesus that no one recorded. And that shouldn't be shocking. You've got a group of people who saw Jesus in the flesh, who heard him. They're going to tell their stories. That's why we have four gospel versions, because there's more stories to tell. But you got to know there were things left out. John would even write at the end of his book, and there's probably a bit of hyperbole, but it still works when he says, I suppose if all of the things he said and did were written in books, the books of the world would not contain them. And I think we can all understand that to be true. We couldn't contain in the books of the world what most of us have done in an entire lifetime if we had to write down every second. Here's the verse. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And again, that is nowhere in the Gospels, yet in most of your translations, those words appear in red. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And we attribute those words to Jesus because Paul attributes them to Jesus. We trust he knows, he's heard that word of mouth, or perhaps heard it spoken to him in a vision. But either way, it is one of the great statements of Christianity. It is more blessed to give than to receive. None of us really need convinced of that once we start giving. The only people that need convinced it's more blessed to give than to receive are people who are not accustomed to giving. Because when you're only accustomed to receiving, you only think about what you can get next. But once you become a giver, you get the sense of what it means to give, and the satisfaction of giving far outweighs the satisfaction of receiving. This is one of the phenomenons that happen to you when you become a parent. Up until the time you become a parent, receiving is more fun. I mean, you've been receiving all of your life since you were a kid, and then you are now an adult who still looks forward to receiving. Once you have someone who looks forward to receiving from you, well, it becomes about giving to them. And the excitement that is attached to giving to them is probably not even exceeded by the excitement that they show in receiving from you. I don't need to convince you of this. I want to just lay it in front of you. I challenge you to put Acts chapter 20, verse 35 to work. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Find an opportunity to do that. Most of us, it's Christmas Eve, so most of our shopping's done, our gifts are purchased. But watch the excitement on the people who receive and see the excitement acknowledge the excitement in your own heart and the blessing of knowing that you were a part of them being able to receive. It's also a pretty good idea in this coming new year to find a way to chant, to test this regularly where you get to be a blessing to someone else. Merry Christmas. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.